issue before the court today is whether or not Mr. Bauer gave notice as soon as practicable following after learning the seriousness of his work injury. As noted in the order of dismissal, Williamson v. Warner Enterprises is the controlling case here. The trial court erred by misapplying Williamson. The clock for Mr. Bauer to provide notice to his employer should have started running on October 20th, 2017, when he first learned the seriousness of his injury.
Is that what the case law says, is learning the seriousness of the injury, or is it just knowledge of the injury?
The statute says knowledge. The case law, Williamson, specifically says as soon as practicable following notice of the seriousness of the injury. And that's the standard that the court applied. However, the court said, well, notice was given by 10:23, 3 days later. He found out the seriousness on a Friday and tried to immediately call the employer that day. But given the fact it was a Friday, he wasn't able to connect with the proper parties. He called the following Monday, 10:23, and gave proper notice and started the process going.
And the date of the incident was September 15th, 2017. So we're talking 38 days from September 15th to October 23rd.
Correct? That's correct, but the trial court specifically said that 10:06, when he first had a medical appointment, should have been when the clock started running. That's what we're arguing is error. It should have been 10:20, because he did not know the seriousness of the injury on 10:06. He saw a physician's assistant that day who indicated that there might be an issue, but that he should follow up with a specialist, and that's when he made an appointment with Dr. Tiedemann at GIKK. The record's unclear as to whether the PA even gave him indication that she suspected a possible rotator cuff tear. And side note, for work comp purposes, a plaintiff cannot use the opinion of a physician's assistant to prove causation, but here is, we're being told that we have to use it in the case of notice.
The Williamson case dealt with a delay of about 5 months, did it not?
Correct.
And here we're talking 35 or 38 days.
Respectfully, we would argue at the most 17 days from October 6th to October 23rd, but yes, from the date of injury to October 23rd would be 38 days.
Let's go over a little bit. So September 15th was the date of the injury.
Correct.
Significant enough that he told somebody that he thought he pulled something.
Mm-hmm.
Skipped going to the Husker game or something that weekend because he was having issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
Put himself on light duty. And the testimony here is actually, he decided, made a conscious decision, not to report it. He didn't want to rock the boat at work.
That's
not right. About seriousness as much as his decision just not wanting to report his injury.
Well, correct, Your Honor. But I think what's important to note here is that even though the trial court found against us on notice, the trial court did hold that there was a compensable injury, an accident, on September 15, 2017, which, in our opinion, takes credibility and all those other arguments off the table. It renders them moot. What we're dealing with here specifically is a first medical visit on October 6, 2017, either 17 days or 3 days. And we can go into the reasons why he didn't give that notice right after the injury happened. He had a prior left shoulder injury many, many years before. He knew that one was much more serious. He was off work for over a year. He rehabbed on his own. He was told he was never going to be a physician or a physical therapy assistant again. However, he rehabbed, did his research, rehabbed on his own, got back to doing that job. And when he had this injury, he knew he had injured it, but he did not think it was serious. In fact, before he went, his testimony at trial, before he went to the appointment with Dr. Tiedemann, was, I truly thought I would go in and he would say, you pulled a muscle, we'll do some scans, some film of it, you know, it's just going to take some time and you'll be better, don't worry about it. That is what he felt was going to be the case. So when he was told that he may have a rotator cuff tear by Dr. Tiedemann on that date, he immediately called the employer.
Well, the one thing we haven't talked about yet is October 1st, he hurt himself again, right? He's on his family farm, and now he hurts that same shoulder, and that's what precipitated that he actually went to the doctor, right?
There was another incident on October 1st, correct, yes. However, once again, the trial court held that September 15th was a compensable injury, renders moot all the credibility. we're dealing strictly with notice and whether or not the trigger date should have been October 6th or October 20th.
Well, but doesn't that then take us to the reason for the requirement that the employee notify the employer as soon as practicable?
That is,
that the employer can investigate. And here the employer had no opportunity to investigate between September 15th and October 1 when the second incident occurred. And I realize the case law says you don't have to show prejudice to the employer, but isn't that relevant in this case?
Well, we would argue, obviously, that it's not, because the judge already did away with those arguments. The judge found it was a compensable issue, and the only thing he made a determination on was the time period. He specifically said 17 days is too long, and in order to affirm that, you're essentially going to have to adopt a bright-line rule that 17 days is too long, and that can throw in a lot of unforeseen consequences here, and would inevitably have to be addressed by the legislature.
The statute could say that. It could say 15 days, it could say 30 days, it could set a time frame. It doesn't say that. The statute says report it as soon as practicable, or practicable, or however you pronounce that, right?
Once you know the seriousness of the injury.
But in this particular case, and that's going to be the struggle here, he knows that he's injured. And this testimony is, he made a conscious decision not to report it because he didn't want to rock the boat. Isn't that a problem?
I think it would be a problem if the judge had indicated in the opinion that it was a problem. I think the very fact that the judge found that it was a compensable injury and the only issue was the 17 days, that's what we're dealing with. That's what the issue is confined to here. So when he saw the PA on October 6th, once again, the opinion there is speculative. She said, you probably want to have it checked out. She excused Mr. Ballard from work until a definitive diagnosis and treatment plan is made. And then he saw Dr. Tiedemann on October 20th, first learned of the possible rotator cuff tear, and immediately called the employer. The reasons that you're discussing, obviously, were litigated at trial, and those were found in favor of our client. And if I can reserve the rest of my time, unless you have more questions right now.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Jason Kidd. I'm here on behalf of Genesis Healthcare, the affiliate in this case. I wanted to talk about a little bit about what we've been discussing so far. We've talked about whether the notice of this injury was given as soon as practicable. In the Williamson case, they talk about practicable being as soon as when it's capable of being done. That's the earliest possible time, when it's feasible to be done. In this case, as Judge Welch has pointed out, he consciously chose not to do, to avoid the employer finding out about the injury. We talked about the speculative nature of the physician's assistant report. I think the record will show up. I didn't offer one single piece of evidence in this case because we didn't have any examinations prior to October 1st. There was nothing that I could base a reasonable physician's opinion on to say, well, this was the condition at some point between September 15th and October 1st, and this was how his condition changed after October 1st. My employer didn't have any opportunity to do that. They didn't know about the injury. They didn't have an opportunity to investigate. We have an intervening injury that happens on October 1st. We have visits on October 6th and October 20th, both of which Friedman?
I don't think so because I don't know what I could have based it on. It's all going to be based upon whatever his testimony was as to his condition.
That happens all the time, doesn't it?
Generally, when I'm going to get an independent medical examination, Your Honor, I'm going to have some prior medical record to which I can base an opinion. I'm generally not going out and getting an opinion based on speculation of a doctor without any real basis to provide.
You can have an MRI performed, you can have x-rays performed, you can have another physician examine him, look at the records that are available. This happens all the time.
Well, that's exactly right, but in this situation, I don't have anything to compare an x-ray or an MRI to because we have an intervening incident, and I don't have anything to compare it to prior to October 1st of 2017.
Well, I assume at trial you discussed the issue that he didn't go seek treatment, that things seemed to have resolved before the October 1 incident. I mean, I assume that's the kind of thing your independent medical examiner can get in terms of history from the client,
right,
the patient.
Right, but there would have been no diagnostics for which I based any real opinion prior to October 1st.
And so I guess that does lead me to the question that you didn't cross-appeal on the issue of the finding of a compensable injury.
Correct.
So it's a little awkward here. Would you agree in terms of how we analyze the notice issue?
Yes and no, because there's not a dispute as to whether notice was given. Notice was given on October 23rd. The dispute is whether it was given as soon as practicable. And in that situation, I don't think that's the case.
So do we look at October 6th or do we look at September 15th?
I think you've got to look at the totality of the evidence as a whole. Where we've got an individual who basically claims two things at trial. The first thing he claims is, well, it wasn't really serious enough, so that's why I didn't report it. But the second thing he claims is, well, I was in hot water at work, and I was kind of nervous that I might get fired if I report my injury, so that's why I didn't report it. So we've got inconsistencies there. Now, neither of those have anything to do with whether he had an accident on September 15th. That doesn't have anything to do with the judge's ultimate determination on that issue, but they do go to the heart of the issue of notice, which is the issue that we're here for today. And in those situations, as we talked about, there are several things that he did that showed that his injury was probably more significant than he claims it was, or at least that he thought it was more significant. We talked about it. He went directly after the incident, his testimony, directly after the incident to the workout facility and started doing pulley exercises on his shoulder. He talked to Deborah Olson, who testified at trial. Deborah Olson indicated that whatever the conversation was, she believed the injury was serious enough, so she advised him that he needed to go file a first report of injury and report the injury to the employer.
That was on the day of the injury?
That was on September 15th. As Judge Wells talked about, he canceled a trip to a Nebraska football game, worked out on a set of pulleys, put himself on light duty the following week, and I believe it's referenced, I can't remember if it's referenced at trial, but it's referenced in Appellant's brief numerous times that he finally went to the doctor because his wife was incessant that he finally go and get it checked out. So I don't know what his home life is like, but if I'm confident, the only way my wife's going to recommend that I do anything is if she's tired of hearing me complain about it. And that happens.
Sounds like my house.
Right? It happens probably too often, but so there are a lot of issues here that show that he had at least some reason to believe that this was more significant than he's let on until October 20th or October 6th, which is what Judge Fitzgerald finds.
So is it your position that if I'm working for an employer and I want to lift something and I feel like I strained my back, and I've done this before, that I need to immediately report that to the employer? I don't have a right to try to work things out and see if it's going to get better in a few weeks?
I think that it depends on the facts and circumstances of every situation. I think every situation is different, and I think it's all factually based. So if you're going back and you're doing a very physical job where you're lifting hundreds of pounds, but you're not really having any restrictions with your ability to work, I think maybe you have some time to see how it plays out. But if you're doing all these activities,
to say either 17 days or 35 days is too short.
Yeah, Williamson says that 5 months is on, exceeds the outer limits of a reasonable reporting time. But the distinguishing factor is that Williamson didn't have an intervening incident. Williamson was 4 months or 5 months, and then the guy finally reports. In our case, we've got an intervening incident which prejudices the employer's ability to do any real investigation or to provide any real treatment. And so that's where the real issue comes into play. And I think it circumvents the notice aspects to be able to not report it, have an intervening incident, then treat for the intervening incident, and then go back when you find out that, well, you might need an MRI or you might need surgery, and then all of a sudden, well, this is something that happened with my employer 40 days ago.
So how do you respond to the language in Williamson that it's knowledge of the seriousness of the injury?
Well, I think the important thing is, I think even if that's the standard, we talked about, he knew, or he at least acted like and testified to an injury that was more significant than he let on. So either his injury was significant as he testified to, or it wasn't really that significant until October 1st, and then it became more significant. And that's the conundrum that we have in defending a case like this.
Do we consider the fact that he's a physical therapy assistant and is somewhat knowledgeable about the working of the body?
Well, I think that when we talk about physician's opinions, physician assistant's opinions being speculative, I think that you would apply the same standard to a physical therapist assistant.
Do you have no other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. How much time is remaining for the appellant?
2 minutes, 18 seconds.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Just a couple of things here. Respectfully, it sounds like we'll be litigating the issue of whether or not there was an intervening cause. And there was an opportunity to cross-appeal on that issue. The intervening cause defense is an affirmative defense. It's the defendant's burden of proof. And so I think it's really important to look at what the judge of the lower court said regarding our client and our other witness, Ms. Olson. After hearing and seeing plaintiff testify and Ms. Olson's testimony, the finding is that the plaintiff had injured his right shoulder in an accident arising out of and in the course of his employment with the defendant. The date of the accident, September 15, 2017. That's moot now. There is no more argument about an intervening cause. Once again, I think if you affirm this, we're creating a bright line rule and we're opening up ourselves to a lot of unforeseen consequences here. We would argue once again that October 6th is what the trial court judge used. I don't think our client knew the seriousness of his injury until October 20th. He testified to that. He testified credibly, and the judge had no problem with believing him in that regard.
What should the bright-line rule be?
I don't think there should be a bright-line rule. It should be as soon as practicable once you know the seriousness of the injury, which...
Would you agree that under certain circumstances that might be 30 days, whether under some circumstances that might be 60? It just depends on the facts and circumstances, right?
I think that's probably true, yes.
And here we review it as a question of law.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And we also give weight to the fact that the legislature set this whole scheme up to try to benefit the employees, not necessarily the employer.
The beneficent purposes of the act. And once again, the judge found our client credible. We're not relitigating those issues. It's 3 days, in our opinion, at the most 17, once you knew the seriousness of the injury.
And the seriousness is when you go to a doctor and a doctor says, this is serious, now it's time to report. Is that right, your view?
Yes.
Do you have any authority in the case law that says that's when the time clock starts to tick?
Just Williamson. Admittedly, there's not a lot of case law analyzing the notice issue. And other